With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another week of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily right here on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel, obviously as part of the Wrestle Talk family. It is a new week. That means it's Tuesday. That means it's call-in day, which means you guys, our loyal Wrestling Daily viewers, our good eggs, will get the chance to have your say on all things wrestling, particularly Raw, if Louis and I get into the nitty-gritty of what needs to be improved or how it could be improved on that brand. I just mentioned the Wonder Kid himself. Here he is, blue tick and all these days, Louis Dangor. How are you, my man?
Well, I'm going to say you're lucky I turned up with my blue tick. I've had offers out my ear, really.
No, you ain't.
From people. I tell you what, though, you do notice you get more people that are verified following you when you're verified.
What noticeable follows have you had in the past few days?
I mean, I had Cena yesterday, which was weird. But yeah. A follows everyone.
He does. But yeah, still, disregard that last piece of info. Just lead with John Cena followed me.
I told my dad that.
No one needs to know the rest. Yeah.
He was like, John Cena followed you. I was like, yeah. I had Sheamus like one of my tweets today, a bit random.
There you go. I've seen what I will say, your early tactic with a blue tick. I see you tagging everyone. You're like,
I've got to be honest. I tagged everyone anyway. Ivelisse followed me.
I think the volume of tagging has risen, Louis.
Who else we got?
Ivelisse is a shout.
That's about it.
I had the reverse. I had the reversed blue tick today. I'm not sure how it happened, but I tweeted about Mark Andrews's BBC podcast, which, by the way, is very good.
It is.
I did an interview with him about it, and having obviously listened to all the episodes so I could interview him about it, I was pleasantly surprised. All about, I don't know, 40 minutes long, nice, short, succinct, loads of guests. It's really fast moving and it's kind of fresh. It's not just talking about, you know, matches or anything like that. It's more about, you know, the perception of being a wrestling fan or the business today and all of the different stuff here, connecting with people, the crowd. Yeah, it was just really fresh, I thought. Got like you know, considering he's a WWE guy, he's got like Cody Rhodes on there. You know, they had a few different
guys.
Did you
ask him about that in your interview?
Yeah, I did. He just said, you know, there was no problem at all. He wanted to do it. Mark did it. Very cool, I think.
So I interviewed him as well today for that to promote. It was very good. He's a lovely guy. We spoke about the Euros. He's not a football fan, but I got him out of it. He's a very nice guy. But go on, you had a reverse of a blue tick. So what does that mean?
Yeah, sorry, my light is fucking me off at the moment. Stop it, light.
Three minutes 50 for the first swear. There we go.
If it keeps doing that. It's flicking at me. Anyway, so I tweeted about it, but I didn't tag him. I just tweeted my general thoughts about it and he found it anyway. And then he followed me. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. I didn't, you know, I actually thought when I was writing it, I'm not just going to tag him as like, you know, but then there you go, Louis, it happens. Anyway, congrats to Big Time Dangor.
Steph Chase as well got verified today.
She did. It's just SP3, right?
I know.
What a loser.
Poor guy.
No, I'm only joking. I love my half the Daily Boy. But yeah, Louis and Steph both verified now. Their journalism credentials have gone up tenfold. So there you have it, guys.
Pete didn't get accepted, which made me incredibly happy that I did and he didn't.
I wonder why you over him. I wonder what, like, because Twitter obviously did Gary Cassidy recently as well. So they're obviously giving journalists like the rub these days.
No, so you basically apply to do it.
Well, I know how it works. Yeah. But I'm saying, I wonder from Twitter's end what they're thinking.
Oh, so when Pete did it, I presume he did it as a content creator as opposed to like a journalist, whereas I like set my link tree, which has got all my stuff off. So I just presume that they preferred that, but I'm just lording it. It's only me and Adam Blompier on the Wrestle Talk team. And we are just as like famous and well-known. So,
wow. That's a shout. It's funny, right? Because Ollie and that do have really good followings on there. So there you go. Exactly. Tyler Woodward, language, Alice. There's no way to speak in the presence of the Talk Wrestling Quiz champion. That you are, Tyler, after you defeated Adam Pearson yesterday. I've got someone alongside me now who I reckon would have a good old go at putting you back in your place.
I messaged him yesterday and I was like, get me on. And he was like, your spot's just gone. but I'll be there. I'll be there soon.
Well, you're going to be on the show next week, but not in a quiz capacity.
This is what we have.
I've seen it.
No, not that one.
Oh, Louis.
That one. John Alba, they verify anyone these days. I mean, I don't have an Emmy.
I love the professional picture John Alba's bringing to the table.
I gave him the rub. I mean, not that I John Alba needs the rub from me, but I was the one that bigged him up on Friday's show. You were the one that, in his words, did a little smirk when I mentioned his name.
You're going to piss me off. I was a little jarred, John Alba, by that response. I was like, hang on, I was putting you over as an this light's going to have to go. It's getting on my nerves. I was putting him over as an all-encompassing journalist, right? I'm saying, hey, man, he's great. He's not just confined to wrestling. I understand, John. I also am beyond wrestling. It's Louis who's just a narrow-minded wrestling guy, right? We're out there doing other sports. And yet, I get this smirk comment. I am furious, John. If you want to bring it to the table, brother, I'm telling you. You want this smoke like Louis wants to smoke 100K? You don't want that. You don't want it.
Oh, God. I do want it.
You don't. Louis definitely doesn't want it.
Where's he gone?
To give me some light. Some natural light.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is actually, Look at that pasty white skin.
Irish heritage coming through.
Yeah, it's very true.
Anyway, let's talk about yes we are. I've got my NCTJ. What have you got, Louis? A degree in politics hasn't come through yet.
Oh, I got some basic. I got one of my final courseworks back today. I got 2-1 somehow.
2-1, good stuff. Mm-hmm. What are you projected like a 2-1? That's what I left with.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, the dissertation's the one that could be like a third or a first. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Normally that's just strong suit though, in a weird perverse way, because you put so much time in. Like, the dissertation is normally like, it was my strongest point because it's your topic.
I don't have the time to do that. I didn't have the time to put that much effort into it. I also work for Wrestle Talk, so I just did. That's why I did it on wrestling. I was like, what do I have to do the least amount of research on?
I like how my eyes are getting over on this channel, Louis.
I know, bloody hell, the comments got the hots for you here.
There you go, mate. I didn't even know Steph had green eyes. I was very taken back by this revelation on Friday.
Did she?
I thought she had brown, but she said green, and I was like, oh, okay.
I would have assumed brown. SP3's brown eyes.
Yeah.
I'm brown eyes. You're blue eyes.
I mean, we're spending entirely too long.
Should we talk about Raw now?
Entirely too long. And before we get into Raw, let's talk business, man. You know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Give me the thumbs up. Give me the subscriptions. Get Wrestling Daily on the road to 15K, because you know what's going to happen there. Louis, what's going to happen?
We will be doing Quizzlemania War Games.
No.
Quizzlemania War Games.
The war was all right. The games, but you're right. That is what's going to happen. And obviously, we have had a great few weeks here. Lots of great views and comments, and you all have been involved. So please keep it coming. You good eggs are the greatest eggs in the batch, the coop. I don't even know what the terminology would be there. The but well done, guys. In the basket, sure. Yeah, that's fresh. Anyway, so thanks very much for that. Remember, Wrestle Talk merch, Wrestling Daily merch. You know what to do. Go to the wrestling WrestleTalk.com shop. Or what's actually the link for that, Louis? Is there a different one?
WrestleShop.com.
Yeah, there you go. You go there and you get the goods. So there's a lot of different stuff on the horizon. I don't do this enough for Wrestling Daily. Just sit here and tell you about all the various ways you can support us. But please do. And you know what my favorite way, and possibly the cheapest way to support us, is the Ultra Chats. I love it when you guys get involved, have your opinion, have your say, set the agenda for us to get into, give us those hot takes. I love it. So please remember, get your messages in to WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily, and the Mud Mother will give us the goods and we'll read it out on screen, whatever you like. But of course, at 25 past today, you can be on screen. That's the magic of the call-in. You can have your say, talk about anything you like. Before that, though, Louis, let's talk about Raw, man, and what needs to happen to fix it. Now, Louis brought this to the table for me. He said to me, let's talk about how we're going to fix Raw. And in the spirit of that, I'm going to let Louis give his pontificate upon how Raw could be better first. I'm going to let you set the table, Louis. Make your compelling case.
I do want to do one very quick thing. I've seen a comment in here from Alex Dangor that my War Games was pathetic. So we are doing call-ins today, but I'm telling Alex, if you want to come into my room now and show me how to do a War Games, feel free. But he won't.
He's not the only one, though. I mean,
yeah, but I can't ask Jeremy Bauman to come to my room right now and show me how to do War Games, can I?
I don't know. Can you?
Where's Jeremy? I don't live with
Jeremy. Where are you, Jeremy?
I live with Alex.
Where are you based, brother? Where are you? All right, go on. Set the time. We've only got about 10, 15 minutes.
Raw wasn't that bad last night, got to be honest. I didn't think it was that bad at all. There was some very good wrestling, some underutilized talent, getting some nice moments to shine. MVP and Kofi Kingston had one of my favorite segments in quite some time. You had like, as I said,
you run out of good things, really.
Okay, bro was very good. Like the stuff they did, I'm happy that they're delaying that a bit to give like them hopefully the win in front of fans. For me, the two issues with the show were unfortunately around the women's segments. Like the can they coexist, and the Nikki Cross stuff was pretty bad, and then the final bit was awful, absolutely awful.
Let's get into that first, because that's the talking point that a lot of people, you know, when I jumped on Twitter this morning, I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it actually was, because from the tweets I was reading, it was like it devastated the wrestling business. It was like the worst thing to happen ever. I'm gonna tell you, like, I didn't like it. It weren't that bad. It wasn't catastrophic, right? Like, when you think about the WWE realm, and you know, okay, do I buy a doll basically being in a feud with a superstar and having supernatural powers? Well, no. Yeah, but it depends where you check it at the door, right? Because Supernatural does have a place in wrestling to a degree. It has done for many years through various characters. So do I like Lily? No. Was I like deeply offended or annoyed by the close of Raw? No, I wasn't.
I agree with you.
You know, it just was. I think Alexa's good in what she does. Do I think the character is connecting or will connect when fans have come back? Well, no, they haven't put her in the right stories. Without Bray, there's significantly less luster, in my opinion, for the Alexa character, and it doesn't work as well. So that's where I'm at with it. I didn't think, you know, I didn't like it. Let's be clear. I didn't think it was a home run or anything. But at the same time, I didn't think it was as bad. I just wonder if this is like a culmination at this point of the way people feel about Raw, right? Like the embodiment of that main event manifested in people's voices on Twitter where they're like, yeah. Oh, you know, I've had enough.
I mean, what did you think about Raw as a whole? Were you, before we get on to talking about the ways we think we can fix it,
same,
were
you
in my camp?
Yeah, same as you. I didn't think, well, I don't know if it's pretty good. I didn't think it was that bad.
Pretty good by Raw standards.
Like I said on Twitter earlier, like I felt like there was some good stuff on there. Like you can find bits and pieces, but that is not an exciting show. For whatever reason, no. They don't have the kind of urgency or tempo or excitement to make it a great show. There's bits and pieces. Generally speaking, the problem's never been in the ring. They just don't have many compelling stories or, you know, there's not like any long running characters or stories that really do much on there. I can find stuff like RK-Bro that I enjoy, even though even bits of that last night, I was a bit like, I don't really enjoy the whole zip it thing. I did first. I did the first segment they did it, but to carry on, I just feel it was a bit not funny, but maybe that's just me. The rest of it though, like I said, the Kofi being involved with MVP is awesome. Ali potentially managing Mansoor, like he doesn't want to happen to him. What happened to him? Mm-hmm. What happened to Mansoor? Happened to Ali? Yeah. I like that stuff. It's just, you know, the Rhea and Charlotte storyline is. I honestly thought that was a slam dunk when Rhea finally came up. I thought it's the easiest win ever, right? The revenge tour from how she got done at WrestleMania to then, you know, overcoming that with the terrible year that, well, not terrible year, but, you know, the up and down year she had in NXT that followed. It's got to be a slam dunk that she then chases after Charlotte and you heat it up with that. And instead they're doing, what's this? Coexisting malarkey and stuff. I just don't get it. Good. I don't get it. I don't know why they have to make every women who are feuding tag team. Why do you do that?
You don't.
There's a lot of lazy stuff that goes on with Raw. And it, like I said, it for what it is, I mean, the main problem is the 3 hours without a shadow of a doubt. We all know that.
I get why they do it, because financially. Well,
I'm saying, will there ever come a time where they say it's not worth the extra money? Probably not.
WWE doesn't care about the wrestling product it's putting out. WWE cares about bringing in the money.
Precisely that. But at some point, the two points do meet. When the money doesn't meet. So when they go to renew, if the money isn't there, that's when they will start to care.
But it's been declining for years. And you, by all accounts, USA is very happy because it's still one of the best performing things on the network. So
it has been declining for years, but at the same time.
And the money always comes in.
Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see moving forward.
But okay, so I've got a few points which I'll break down for you, which I did a bit of prep for what I think Raw can change. So it's one thing, and I do want to say, for anyone that doesn't like comparisons to AEW, probably leave now, because I am going to make a few. Hang on. So my first thing is forward planning.
You think
and I'm not even, but I'm not even talking long-term booking. I'm just saying, right, if you know in a week's time that something is going to happen, make sure that what you do the week before doesn't contradict that. So for example, the Raw after WrestleMania when Lashley squashed Riddle in 10 minutes didn't look good. But the week after, Riddle beat Randy Orton. So when I'm thinking in terms of forward planning, I'm like, right, if you know that's roughly something you're going to do, don't have him squashed in 10 minutes like the week before to make him look weak. So then him beating Orton looks less impressive. And Orton losing to someone that got squashed doesn't look impressive as well. So a bit of forward planning to go, right, this is what we want to do. This is where we want to get. Just call it for the next review. Let's make sure that nothing contradicts that. And also in that vein, that means you can promote things in advance. So for AEW, I know the stuff I can get excited about. I know in 2 weeks time, I'm seeing Jungle Boy and Kenny Omega. So I've got 2 weeks to get excited about that. Whereas for Raw, I can get on my phone 3 hours before the show and know nothing that's happening. Or if it is something, it's a contract signing with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. So it's not really anything. And that isn't that WWE is sitting there going, we're not going to tell you what's on. We're just going to let you guess. No, they don't know what's happening because the script hasn't been finalized. So a little bit of forward planning is my point number one that I think will go a long way.
Let me answer as you go.
Go on.
For, I I agree with the sentiment. I do feel like they don't map out their rivalries well at all. They don't know where they're going from pay-per-view to pay-per-view in most cases, right? They might
week to week.
No, but I mean feud title-wise, right?
Normally, you build
your shows, right, with the pay-per-view in mind, typically speaking. Certainly back in the day, I know Vince has said in documentaries and stuff before, they would know the next WrestleMania's main event. And you work that way, right? Where you work from the next WrestleMania and you work backwards on the pay-per-views. Obviously, they don't do that anymore. But at that point, when it was a smaller writing team, I've said about this a million times, the infrastructure is all over the place there. I don't know if the Riddle one is a great example, and this is probably a good reason why. Dion Chua, I forgot they even squashed Riddle. I don't think it matters too much in that instance. It would have mattered more if you'd beaten Lashley to keep Riddle strong. Or don't book it at all, I understand. But you know what I'm saying? You can't have it all. Someone has to win or lose. Anyone can win. If you're going to lose to the WWE dominant champion, it's not really a bad loss, right? I get your point.
No.
I'm just saying that's not the most extreme example of it.
Of course.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But in terms of like forward planning, I like the way AEW tell us what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
But at the same time, right? So you said you didn't want to compare AEW. I hate being this guy. Back at the turn of the millennium when Raw was like amazing, you didn't know what was going to happen. You tuned in because of that, because it was really exciting. They had great characters. The stories are great, right? They built the show in such a way where, oh man, I just have to see what happens. What's Austin going to do this week? What's he going to do to Vince McMahon, right? You had to know. The same thing with, and they would still, from time to time, go, okay, number one contenders match next week. You knew leading off Raw, generally with the ending, you know, like the heel turn or whatever, you generally knew what the next phase of that was. And today, of course, you don't have that. But I understand that there's no good me saying, oh, they just need to make it exciting, right? Because that's not the answer here. So how do they build to matches they've already run through a million times on Raw with their roster? At least AEW keep it fresh. Raw,
that's the thing.
They're already hitting rematches on the regs anyway. So they put themselves in a bad spot with the 3 hours because they've got so much time to fill. Everyone ends up facing everyone.
So the 3 hour thing I'm going to get to in a second because I think I have a small solution.
Okay. Okay.
The next thing is stop having the same match every week.
Like, simple, right?
less repetitive. Like on Raw, like AW, and I'm sorry, but they've only had one match take place on back-to-back Dynamites. Mm-hmm. Only one. And that had an added stipulation. With Raw, it feels like it's every week at this point, or some iteration of a rematch, whether it be, all right, we saw Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston versus Elias and Jackson Ryker, but next week we'll see Elias and Kofi Kingston. Like, it still feels very samey. You can have, if I am feuding with you, Alex, I do not just have to face you. I can face SP3 as well, or I can face Steph. I think having it feel more like an interchanging universe where you do just mix with different people, not just the people you're feuding with, which in turn does have mean you sort of can wrestle more different people and have less repetitive matches. Because WWE has such a talented roster that you shouldn't have these constant rematches, but we do. And I will say just now, the link is going in the chat while you respond to my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I understand what you're saying there. And in terms of like rematches and stuff, to me, I don't know whether this makes me old school or not, but on pay-per-view, if you're going to see someone clash, like if it's not part of the feud, it should be the first time they clash, right? You shouldn't have watched them fight on Raw and, you know, for however many weeks prior to the pay-per-view. I know there's exceptions to the rule, like, you know, best of seven, for instance, or whatever, but
none of the rematches on Raw at the moment have been best of seven.
No, well, generally speaking, you should keep people apart until their big pay-per-view. And again, they used to do that. They used to do that very well. But these days, it's like for a feud in WWE's eyes, it is just facing someone. They don't actually put the time or effort in to make a story. And I know the pandemic maybe is a problem in some ways, but it shouldn't. It's not like an excuse, in my opinion. Like, there are ways to get creative with it. And they just prefer to rely on, oh, distraction finish. Oh, interference. Like, particularly the former. Jesus Christ. How many distraction finishes do we get in WWE? So,
yeah,
it's just there's a lot of basics or stuff that they're just not getting right. And I said this to Steph the other day, even, at least in the Heyman era where he had Raw, at least he was trying things, man. Like, okay, we all crapped on like the Lashley Lana thing, but like, at least there were concurrent storylines that were going on and everyone had something to do on the show. That's basically the crux of when Raw was good. Everyone had a story. Now they're just wrestlers. They're just there. Like, it's very difficult. Anyway, make another point.
I have two more points. First point. Make stuff matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley is the title match at Hell in a Cell. Charlotte earned that by pinning, I can't remember who. Let me look that up very quickly. But basically, the week before, Asuka pinned Charlotte. So she got it by beating Asuka. She got it by beating Asuka, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The week before, Asuka beat her. This new one wasn't a number one contenders match. So why did the first match matter? Which means, why should I care about it? So make stuff matter, whether that be matches with stakes or not just meaningless matches. Like, for example, this is, and I think it's one of the worst things I've ever seen, when Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke just walked out of their match. And the commentary team was like, that's as good as beating the champions now. It's not. Make matches matter where wins matter and losses matter. Like Drew, listen, you and I love Drew. We are massive Drew fans. Drew really shouldn't have a title match now. He doesn't deserve it in terms of, like, yes, he beat Kofi, but before then, who did he beat to get his WrestleMania Backlash one? No one. Who did he beat to get the WrestleMania match? No one. And I think we beat Sheamus, actually. Okay.
Yeah,
he's had constant rematches. And I think it just makes me go, okay, so what was the point of the WrestleMania, what was the point of the WrestleMania Backlash match if he's getting another match already? So making stuff matter, I think, is incredibly important. So I can then invest in the matches because they mean more as opposed to just being something to fill the time.
Yeah, I mean, can you hear the helicopter? Jesus.
I can.
It's one of those things for me, like AW's ranking system has generally helped them in this regard. And I know people at the start will be like, oh, how's this going to work? But generally speaking, like and Hangman Page when he had that shock loss, for example, to want to say Brian Cage. It was one of them where people were a bit like, oh yeah, why are you beating Hangman Page? But they did it for a reason, to keep him out of the title hunt. Right? He needed to drop that, otherwise he'd have been at the top of the rankings by now. So it was actually cleverly done, and it was a win that mattered for Brian Cage, extended their feud. It worked. But WWE, now remember, WWE kind of went back on their whole thing last time, where it was, we're not going to do just automatic rematches anymore. If you're the champion, you don't get a rematch if you lose. But you do, right? They just continue the feud in a different way. You know, it doesn't like open up anything. I don't think WWE has enough number one contender matches for my liking either. They just generally get into championship matches, or you beat the champion to face the champion, which is one of my pet hates in WWE. So that's obviously things should matter. Like, I don't know what else to say on that one. I feel like WWE booked themselves into that corner because they go, we have to carry this on, and then they just kind of forego logic. Like they conveniently forget things when they want to. There you go. Stop the winning final, champions. Dion Chum is right. He's right. Anyway, go on.
My final point before we get to the corners. And have you seen the thumbnail for today's video?
No.
It is Roman Reigns with the WWE Championship. My point is, move Roman Reigns to Raw. So my point being,
don't swallow Roman in a 3 hour. Go on anyway.
His segments will take up 45 minutes of the show, an hour of the show. That's okay. I am more than happy for an hour of Raw to be Roman Reigns. For me, you put the thing that fills up the most time, and that can easily fill up the most time by being good, on the longest show. For me, I think I wouldn't do it. I'd consider it.
You've changed. You've changed your tune.
As in, I wouldn't automatically say do it without considering it. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'd at least consider the options and go, is it worth putting our best person on the show that's struggling to hopefully elevate that? Because if you don't remember, before Roman came on, SmackDown was struggling, really. It wasn't really doing anything, and then Roman came along and the show was better. And I don't think Roman's booking would be worse because he's the one in charge. Let's not forget, this is the same company booking both things. Roman just, by his involvement and Paul Heyman's involvement in the storylines, it is better. So for me, I would have Roman Reigns, at least think about putting Roman Reigns on Raw.
They were struggling with Roman Reigns. Lest we forget Dog Food Gate.
Okay.
It wasn't Tribal until... Chief. Yes, thank you. It wasn't until they switched that up. So it's not a case of just, you know, moving over or whatnot. And it might be a case that he does move over to Raw to keep the challenges fresh until The Rock or whatever. I still think there's plenty of challenges on SmackDown, personally, for him. But I personally wouldn't do that. I think WWE as well will look at the show they have on Fox as their A show, personally. Yeah. So I wouldn't want to muddy that. I'll say this for SmackDown. I'm a much bigger fan of that than Raw. But when I first heard the critique that, it's only really good because of Roman Reigns, I was like, no way. Like, the roster there is very strong. They have a lot of great supporting cast for Roman Reigns. This show that just gone is maybe the first one where I was a bit like, oof. Like, I thought the Seth Rollins interview was terrible. What a waste of time that was with Caleb Braxton. Like, what did that achieve? I thought it was poor. Also, I hated the Bailey laughing thing with Bianca Belair. Hated it. I like that feud. I like those two wrestling. What's this weird laughing thing that Bailey's doing? It's not grabbing me in any kind of way. It was just, what's Bailey got to laugh at? Bianca's whooped her like two or three times now. I don't understand. Anyway, I do think, for Roman to stay fresh and that, it could be cool, but man, that would be a hit to SmackDown. I just don't see WWE saying, you know what, let's move our A player off our A show. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that was my thought. Maybe it's something that could work, maybe not. But should we get into it? Because I'm sure the majority of the call-ins are going to be
You get the goods up and I will get
I was going to say, do you want me to do that? Because I know who was here last week. Because you were
off last week, so I know who to bring on because I didn't get the opportunity to last week.
Go on then, if you want to.
All right, perfect. Someone we didn't get to last week was Injection2K, who I've seen in the private chat for this, was not too happy with my Roman Reigns take. So Injection, talk to us. How would you fix Raw, and why was my Roman take so bad?
What's happening, my man?
What's up? I don't think Raw needs Roman. That's why I said no to that. I think Raw needs a new star that can eventually face up to Roman. I said, I wrote this down too. I said, the problem with Raw is that their mindsets aren't set on the product at hand. They are focused on the brand WWE, the endorsement deals, the streaming services, you know, business, business, business. Look at NXT. It's stronger than Raw. SmackDown, we give it more of a chance because the Roman story is so good. Oh, I can't wait till Hell in a Cell. Anyway, which makes SmackDown an upgrade of a watch for watching Raw. But what if Roman was the same Roman from before the heel turn, from like 2015 to 2020? Would SmackDown be that good?
I get it, but...
No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't, but the Roman, I think if you moved him over to Raw, he wouldn't be tainted with the Raw booking. I think he would have, like, him and Paul Heyman conducting stuff like they do on SmackDown, because it isn't a completely different creative team. Like, it is the same creative team. And the rest of the stuff, as Alex mentioned, isn't blow-away amazing. Some of it is better, but I think they have a better roster.
Generally speaking, it's better. I would say just saying this was the first week where I thought, it wasn't that strong around Roman. But there you go.
I feel like this week on SmackDown will be like the full, okay, we going back to the main event of Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I think because you've had the tag team stuff that's been like playing in with it, but obviously we know now reportedly that it'll be Ray and Roman Hell in a Cell, which I presume they book. The thing is with Roman, I think he would... You say Raw doesn't need him. Raw just needs interesting storylines because it's currently got, apart from RK-Bro, nothing. And Roman, for me, is the most interesting thing in WWE, in wrestling. So but I don't know about not needing it.
But think about it like this. The Roman storyline would get old real fast.
Yeah, let me say something here, Injection2K. Louis, look at all of the points you made about what's wrong with Raw and how to fix it. How does Roman address all of them?
He has not had... Okay.
It's a Band-Aid, is my point. It's a Band-Aid over the...
All of his matches matter. All of his matches matter, without question. His segments matter. Everything around Roman matters. Yes, I would say... Some of his segments are a bit repetitive, but because they're so good, you don't mind. Like, I know Voices of Wrestling did something along this and sort of had a bit of a go at me about this on Twitter, but a lot of Roman segments are him talking down to Jey Uso and then him getting rid of Jey Uso and ended up being someone down. But because they're so good, I don't think the repetitiveness bothers people.
I'm not bored at all.
Exactly. I'm not bored of it because, like, yes, it follows a similar template, but the template is so good and the little details that you get each week are so good that it's fine. So I think with Roman, he might not address those problems, but because the story is so good, people might not mind as much anyway.
And so I think you're hoping, right, basically a strong character will mask and rise up a 3-hour show that's been dragging. That's what you hope.
Yeah, yes, but also on the note of Injection's point about Raw needing a new star, for me, Roman's made at least Jay and Cesaro, really. You could argue Cesaro and Seth is what made Cesaro, but he really helped Cesaro. So I think Roman is making stars along the way. So I think in a feud with, call it Kofi Kingston on Raw, you could really make Bobby Lashley, you could really make Kofi Kingston through having Roman Reigns on the back. I think he would help make the characters on the show more interesting, for me anyway. But I get your point. And I think there is a worry that because it is so good, people don't want to move it. They're like, right, it's so good, let's just keep it as it is and not change anything. That's an argument I've seen online. People are like, all right, don't change too much because of how well it's going.
Yeah, because I don't want it to be ruined, and I don't want it to be like, okay, he's on a 3-hour show. I don't want him to go right back to Raw. I mean, go back and forth, or either like, well, who would you replace Roman with on SmackDown?
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing as well. Like, if he was to move to Raw, and like, you know, WWE, like, it's like when anything catches fire, typically they would just beat it into the ground. Like, they would overdo it with Roman, I think, and then we might be back to square one. But I don't know. It's an interesting one. I think Roman is, you could argue, in the whole of wrestling because of WWE stature, but he's probably the biggest star in the business right now. Certainly WWE. Man, if you've got that trajectory laid out for him, I don't know why you would mess with that. Certainly, it's certainly on a gamble that he would help Raw.
Oh,
when really that's not his problem.
It's a gamble. And I'm saying it's not something I would automatically do. I think you need to, as you said, work out who goes the other way, whether that's Drew McIntyre, who I think 100% with this draft coming up in August needs to go to SmackDown. Or
Oscar needs to go to SmackDown too. I'm sick of being on Raw.
I think Sasha needs to, maybe after SummerSlam, needs to go to Raw as well. I think there are some changes, which could be a discussion for maybe you and SP3 tomorrow or something.
I honestly think Sasha might be winning Money in the Bank and cashing in on Bianca.
I definitely think they do Banks Belair too. Easy. You know, I don't know how you wouldn't do that. But I think they'll probably split Bailey and Banks up in the draft, which... I don't know.
And probably put Charlotte on SmackDown.
Probably. Anyway, probably. Injection 2K, my man, thank you so much for stopping by and giving us your candid thoughts. By the way, Cavs jersey, who's on the back?
Huh?
Who's on the back of your jersey, man?
Oh, nobody.
Oh, okay, it's a clean one. No worries. Yeah. I'm looking at the Cavs roster today, and I was thinking, who the hell has he got?
All right, Injection, thank you very much.
Are you welcome about the ad too?
Yes, it was very good. I need to do some,
upload that, Louis.
I was gonna say I need to do that. You know you can't download videos on Twitter.
What do you mean?
You can't download them.
Yeah, from an inbox you actually can't. Give him your email, man. Send him your email.
We'll sort that. I went to download it today and I couldn't do it, but we will sort it. Next, we got on the show someone we haven't had for a while. Should we get Dion on?
Sure. Dion Chua. Hey, man.
Dion, how are you? We got you.
In a while.
It has been a while.
Oh, glasses and hair. I can't see your mouth.
My shockmaster. On-screen debut.
On-screen debut. There you go. Could you move your laptop lid down a little bit so we can see?
There we go. There's the money.
There we go. So, Dion, how would you fix Raw?
Oh, stop releasing the wrestlers. Oh, my God. you want to get invested in the people, right? So, like, you have to, especially the Aleister Black situation, the recent communication issues with the creative, not knowing that he's being released, really bugs me out.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because how can you plan for anything when you don't know who's on the chopping block or not?
Well, they were. Yeah,
like you explained before.
They were doing vignettes with Aleister Black the week he got released. So as far as he knows, he's in the middle of a feud and he's recording stuff. And they're like, oh, actually, mate, you're out. So, man, it's who out of everyone that's gone since WrestleMania, Dion, would you have said was must keeps? Like, you know, give me like three.
Mojo.
Samoa Joe. Iconic. And,
Ruby Riott, yes.
Mm.
That one really hurt.
So with not Aleister Black.
Oh, sorry. of course. There's three.
I'll let you have four. It's fine. I think everyone
Ruby Wright in particular, I think she'll be fine. She will land on her feet outside of the company. Do you think the Iconics, like, probably Impact Tag Champs, right? That would make sense for them.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But I don't know, man. Like, you look at who got released from WWE. It's actually very hard to say who do you think is going to get released next, because I wouldn't have called...
Anyone can get released.
I wouldn't have called Strowman. Honestly, I wouldn't have.
Oh, Not at all. He was a guy that I thought was a lifer. But that's why SV3 and I were talking about it. Could WWE be selling because, like, he was on such a big money contract that it would make sense? But for Strowman, I actually thought about this today. Can you see him wrestling anywhere? I think he'll do strongman stuff and then return to WWE in 2-3 years.
I think he'll come back to WWE at some point. Aleister Black has certainly left his bridges with WWE nicely intact. So,
you know what? I quite like that. I've seen some people get a bit annoyed about it. Like, why isn't he, like, more angry? Like, who are we?
You mean Carl Anderson?
No. Not even him. I've seen people...
I know what you mean. Being
like, and it's like, oh, like, who are you? Like, if he's had a positive experience there, and whether, yes, he's doing that to, like, because Thea might be returning, by all reports. So maybe that's a reason. Or maybe he just has genuinely had a very positive experience there and is fine with it. I mean, who are we to tell him? I quite enjoyed his interview with Renee today, where he was just speaking very openly, very happily about his time with WWE and seemed quite content.
Listen, it's good not to burn bridges, in my experience. Dion, man, let's get one more thing out of you. What would you like to say before we let you go?
So this is my re-debut of on screen. So yeah, I'm gonna name myself as the Sheep of Wrestling Daily.
The sheep.
Not only I'm a Bailey fan, yeah, but I'm born on the year of the Sheep. So yeah, that's a very, very cool thing.
We like it.
Making my way up to the GOAT status.
we need to, like, your entrance music starts with, like, a ba, and then there's some terrible guitar riff. WWE would do that. They really would.
They would. They would. Right, Dion, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, brother.
Now, I think we should get to someone who we haven't seen for a while, someone who's holding a very nice title with him. It's Greg Cherry.
It's Gregory. Hello, brother.
What's up? How's it going?
Very good.
Right. All right.
I think Louis detests the sight of that title.
I do. That's why I would have said good if it was anyone else, but I saw the title, so it's gone down to all right.
Oh, okay. It's because you don't have it. Is that it?
That's exactly why. That is exactly why.
I mean, I heard Alex mention wrestling trivia a little bit earlier because I tried to get on the quiz yesterday. Just missed it.
You and Louis both just missed it. But remember, we tried to do the Greg Cherry gauntlet on Talk Wrestling. You fell at the first hurdle, man.
I'm not good with ages. I told you this. anyway.
What do you want to say, my man?
Well, since we brought up this championship and since I've been champion 1,186 days as of today, I was thinking, since Nick Aldis is close to the 1,000-day mark himself, who do you think beats him for the title?
I want to see the Dustin Rhodes story so bad. I can't remember who said that on Twitter. Who said that? Somebody did. Very, very good. That, because if the Cody story with him was awesome enough, man, you know, Dustin being at the winter of his career and that one last shot, and he always wanted his dad's approval, man. Like, I just think that would be so amazing. But, you know, like, if you asked me who on the NWA roster, I really don't know if they have anyone who I would think is worthy to do that. So you probably have to bring someone in to make it special. You know, Samoa Joe could pop up there or something, but I don't see that. I see him going higher. So we've all
Kenny?
I mean, maybe, because the relationship's there and he's the belt collector. I don't know if Aldis wants his legacy to end at the hands of a belt collector. That's me riffing. I don't know.
I've got to be honest. I think Aldis has done the business once for, like, not AEW, but for Cody. And, like,
he got it back like that, Louis.
He did. Right? But his reign was, how long was his reign before then?
Yeah, long.
So, like, say you don't miss out that period.
He's had it for about 5 years.
He's had it for about 5 years at this point. I think I hadn't actually seen that thing on Twitter that you said, the Dustin story, but now you said it, it does make a lot of sense, and it would be really, really cool. Have you got anyone, Greg, that you're thinking?
Well, I was thinking Dustin Rhodes too. Maybe The Rock should come in and win a battle royal and challenge him. I'll never let you forget that, Louis.
But yeah. We had a Wrestling Daily meeting today that Louis probably isn't even aware of with Ollie Davis and Pete Quinnell, and we were talking about Louis's many, many great comments, particularly that one, and also the fact that 2011 CM Punk would not be in the top 10 workers today. I don't forget, Greg. Listen, don't forget.
I stick by both.
Shite comments. Because we're going to start clipping them up. That's the nature of the conversation. Anyway, so Dustin's where you're landing with this, Greg.
I do like the fact that, you know, Dusty won the belt, Cody won the belt at All In. So, yeah, make it a family legacy. Make Dustin be the one to dethrone Aldis. And even if he doesn't have it very long, he gets that moment. He's never been a world's champion. So I would like to see it. I honestly thought it would be cool if, you know, when Cody couldn't challenge for the belt, that Dustin would have beat Jericho. I thought that would have been okay. Just to say, hey, maybe Dustin could win the AEW championship. It seems kind of out there, but.
I think one last kind of moment in the sun for Dustin would be cool. I always thought it maybe would come with Cody and the tag belts. You know what I mean? But Cody is doing whatever Cody is doing. Solving
racism, I've heard.
I mean, that's probably a good place to end it. I mean, I'm going to say, CM Chris said swear jar 3. Shite. Sheamus got away with gobshite last night.
Yeah, Sheamus got away with it. It's fine.
If it comes on.
The American air, it's good for Wrestling Daily. So
Must be. Anyway, Greg, thank you very much for your time, my brother. Always appreciate a real trivia head coming on by. Come back anytime, my friend, and we'll have some talks about you returning to talk wrestling. Thank you very much.
Should we go to Danny Spears? He hasn't got his picture on, so I'll give him 10 seconds to get ready, just to make sure that
I want Bubba after this comment. I want Bubba on this show after that goddamn comment.
I will get you Bubba after this. But Danny, you ready?
Hello.
Yo, Danny. You look like a lot like Orange Cassidy, brother.
You do.
I refuse to put my face. Maybe next time I'll be on camera. But for now, Orange Cassidy with a pride flag.
It's a good choice.
Wrestling Daily debuts. I'm very excited to talk to you guys.
What do you want to talk about, man?
I was going to say, we've seen you in the back end a few times, so as soon as I saw your name pop up, I thought we got to get him on today.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm like fairly new because I saw Louis on the Quizzlemania where the 15 subscriber goal was made. I'm like, let me subscribe. So I've been in love with your channel ever since. So
there you go, Louis the Draw. There you go,
Louis the Draw. Interesting.
The draw. Very interesting. The draw. you did it.
I appreciate it. Go on then. What's on your mind?
Let's talk about NXT. What are we thinking?
Ooh, NXT.
Or in your house. Ooh. What are we thinking?
I'm excited about that.
Fairly rushed, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the card, it's a bit, you know, for a takeover, anyway, it's a bit, it needs fleshing out. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, with NXT, I do think that they, you know, particularly you look at the main event, which is a Fatal 5-Way. That's always a good potential. But then you look at, I don't know, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight. Is that a takeover match?
Well, it's going to be for the $1 million championship, isn't it?
It is, but Mercedes Martinez.
Unconfirmed, but we're speculating.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we see that match already? I think we saw that 2 weeks ago.
I mean, yeah, briefly, right?
That was very brief.
Raquel Gonzalez, Ember Moon. Is that where we're going with that?
Yeah, I think that is what they announced.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Ember Moon's amazing.
Ember Moon's amazing. She'll be like a great, not first challenger, but like a great pay-per-view, I guess, wrestler for Raquel to have a match with. Raquel's great, but Ember Moon's like a vet, so she'll be perfect to have matches with. I think the five way, the five match will be, the five way will be awesome. We'll probably get maybe like Bronson Reed and Santos Escobar, which could be a lot of fun, like their clash of styles. Maybe a tag match again with MSK, something with Kushida. I think you've got a lot of options there to make this a really good show. And we haven't seen like a big takeover, sort of like four-way, five-way for the title. So I'm really looking forward to that, to see like him in that setting, and to see like Karrion Kross in that setting. And I think his takeover matches haven't been amazing. So putting him in there with like four super workers,
I think they have got better.
Oh yes, it'll be good for sure.
Agreed.
I've been thinking about. Oh, am I cutting everybody off? It's a little delayed on my end, so I'm just following the audio because visual wise, everyone's lips is moving, but then the audio is a little bit behind.
You're good. You're good.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
Yeah, here, 1 second. We're gonna need to put both headphones in or something.
There we go.
There we go. Because Alex, I see your lips moving, but I don't hear you. I only hear Louis. So it seems like I'm only replying to Louis.
Never do that again with your mouth, Alex. Please, for my sake and for YouTube's sake.
I almost fell for that. You tried it. I almost fell for that. So right, I was also thinking. What happened?
Go on. Sorry. No, go on.
So I was also thinking, like, what NXT guy should be moved to Raw? I mean, I don't want to see any of them because of the booking, but I would love to see Johnny be IC champion because I'm a huge Johnny Gargano fan. But they'll just blow it. It'll break my heart seeing what can happen with him on the main roster.
I wouldn't trust the way in Raw's hands. I think if I had to have one person go up, it'd probably be EO. Louis?
I think Finn Balor. I think he's done all he can do, and I think that he's a big enough name that he could have debut in front of fans again. I would have that for sure.
Oh, man, let's fit one more in,
I
Lou.
Agree. Where would you
put let's fit one more in. I would put him on SmackDown because they got the best show. And you know what? Put him on Raw because that's to fix Raw. Put Finn Balor there. But Danny, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Daniel.
We have one more to fit in, and that is Bubba. Who are you prepared, Alex, to go in?
Bubba!
Goldberg.
You're lucky you're wearing the merch, brother. Let me tell you that.
I did it to troll.
All right.
I don't know about that. That's what they all say. They all say did it to troll, but they actually mean it.
If you will talk to Cyclone, another mod, you'll know I'm in a troll mood because of a toothache that's been at me for days.
Oh, no.
So I've got my wisdom tooth at my far right is coming through and it's driving me insane.
Oh, I have driving extra me a little teeth bit coming in here. I have extra teeth behind it.
That's not nice. That is not nice.
I was that is not to nice. Say, and she basically said, yeah, this is rare. I actually have to send off proof of this thing's existence.
Not ideal. Not ideal.
What's but, this teeth talk? Bubba, what do you want to talk about, brother?
I stand by what I said a few weeks ago about proven wrong. Not giving them full creative control, just let them pitch their ideas. It's worked with RK Bro, it's working with Roman Reigns and then Ennington Daniel Bryan was doing. It's something basic that can still be controlled by Vince, but still gives them a chance to get their own ideas in.
There's far too many writers between the talent to Bruce to Vince, far too many, right? Where there's a lot of talent these days, you know, Chelsea Green is a great example. Have you seen the interviews where she tells you exactly how many ideas she actually
and
picked?
So many good ones
and
as
they
well.
Were good ones. They were good ones that I would have liked to have watched. And I just think like
hang on. Why could she not get to the ear of Vince? Like, if you want to use her, she gave you more than you've already called her up. She gave you more than enough reasons to use her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that is half the problem where, like you just said, these talent, they know the business. And if AEW has proven anything, it's that having that kind of relationship with Tony Khan, who admittedly is not as busy as Vince McMahon wrestling wise. I mean, he has got about 7 jobs, but in terms of AEW, his main focus is booking the show. I believe for Vince, that's way down the list of his to-do list in the company. So I think that's the problem, man.
But thing is, Bruce, he said it before. He knows what Vince likes. So he can work with them to make sure it gets through Vince. Vince signs up everything. No matter what, it goes to
Bruce Pritchard's ideas he thinks are good or ideas that he just thinks will get through Vince?
The latter.
Yeah, true, Vince.
And on the note of creative control, something I wanted to ask Alex and Bubba at you as well. Obviously, there have been reports that Andrade wanted full creative control, veto power on matches. What do you guys think? You're both shaking your heads. So we'll start with you, Bubba. What did you think about that? Do you think that's like a bad idea? Or
I can understand creative control because it's clear that AEW wrestlers do get a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But their knee, look at the original Dark Order before Tony Khan got involved with it. It just was going nowhere. It was going bad. Tony Khan does know wrestling. He knows what people like. So he needs to be in there a bit. And the vetoing, if you're going to lose, that just doesn't work for any wrestler.
No, it doesn't work for me, brother. Listen, I think like there needs to be that medium between what WCW and WWE was essentially, right? Where we talked about it just then, the cooperation between wrestlers and the booker, but there has to be that final voice. There can only be one who says this is how it's going to be, and if you can't play by those rules, then what, you know, you don't belong there. Quite clearly, I understand Andrade feeling like that after leaving WWE and being so frustrated and suppressed, and he thinks, you know, I don't want to go down that path again. But you know that you can't have the inmates running the asylum, or you know, or too many cooks in the kitchen, whatever stupid analogy you want to use, you can't. There needs to be that one final person. And I think thus far, Tony Khan has proven with AEW, it's a pretty good way to run it. You know, I can't think of any glaring examples where that's gone wrong.
He's actually a wrestling fan. Vince has always hated wrestling. He just enjoys the business.
I'm sure Tony Khan maps out where they're getting to and what the plan is, right? But in segments or promos, that's you. That's your character. That's, you know, that's what a Moxley thrives off of. That's where Andrade can come into his own and be who he wants to be. I'm sure AEW have big plans for him. So he's got to trust the process.
For what it's worth, wrestling, who has reported this? Sorry, let me just get this up. I've literally just seen it now. Wrestling Inc. have said, we are told that Andrade's deal does not have any creative control. It was also noted that no one in AEW has creative control in their contract, that Tony Khan has total control over creative. But they do have input. Like you can say, the two examples I think of are Miro, who obviously came in and wanted to do his like gamer stuff. That just wasn't working really. And I think the whole Kip thing just wasn't working. And with Cody as well, I know Apinav in the comments has been wildly saying Cody to make sure.
I don't think the mirror thing was ever the long-term plan, by the way, but
it wasn't, but the short-term plan was shite, and I can say that because that's not a swear. But Cody, I agree, he obviously does have creative control, but he's a EVP, he can do what he wants. And for me, a lot of his stuff has been lacking. I don't think he's hit since last year really. But yeah, that creative control thing is always interesting, and I agree with you. I think it was Tucker that said this after he was released, and someone asked him, how would you fix WWE at the moment? He says, you need to give wrestlers more autonomy over their characters, what they're doing, because they know what they can deliver well. They know what suits them. So if you let them do that.
Not a 70-something-year-old man. They don't know the characters.
But that's the thing, like the Aleister Black thing, when he was talking about how the lighting in his room would like sort of correlate to the gear of someone that he was going to wrestle next. Like that is so cool and something creative, but we just don't know about it. Did it ever play anything?
Realized it.
Oh, of course not. 100% Vince didn't realize. I mean, you can never be 100%, but 99% sure Vince didn't even know that was a thing.
All right. Listen, Bubba, thank you very much for the call this week, my man. Wearing that great merch that you've got on you.
I love it. I just put my vulture.
Listen, Louis, before we go here, we're going to say goodnight to Bubba, and we're going to say, hey, Tyler, Talk Wrestling Champion.
Hello.
Right now. I had to get you in quick. How are you?
Thank you. I am so good, but I am not here to talk about any about Raw or anything like that. I'm going to put out a challenge to Mr. Louis Dan Gore. So, I propose next week, as I am one of the ring defending Talk Wrestling Champions, I am willing to put my title up on the week against you. Alex thinks of the questions, me versus you.
You want to do it here or you want to do it on the radio?
On the radio or on here, wherever.
Oh.
The radio, maybe. I might not be able to do the radio.
Oh.
I might have a date. I'll keep you posted. Yes.
Challenge. Come on now.
I swear to you. if not, we'll do it on Tuesday, 100%.
Is this the Tinder date who wanted you to hang
no,
out?
No.
She's, come on now.
Oh. Is it, what do you mean?
Is it a Tinder date?
No.
Liar.
I'm not reeling anymore. I'm verified now. I've got to protect myself.
Liar. Anyway, we will make it. I tell you what, if Louis can't do Monday, Tuesday it is. We'll have it on. You'll be the main event of the chat, of the call-in. We'll do the quiz.
Yeah.
Talk wrestling rules, of course. 5 seconds, 45 seconds, sorry, five questions. You know the rules. Yeah, we'll do that next week. Man, maybe that can become a recurring thing. Yep. Who knows? I mean, it's hard enough thinking of a quiz a week. But I'll figure it out. I will figure it out.
Let's do it. Right, Tyler, thank you very much. We accept your challenge. Gonna have to get rid of you now because
you're welcome.
I can't spend too much time with an opponent.
Goodbye.
And Briz, I see you in the back end. I don't know if we'll have time today. We got time for one more. Should we get him on next week?
Listen, I'm getting Briz in. I've made an executive decision. He's coming in. He's waited patiently. He's got Andrade hair. What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm fine actually. And you guys, if you don't have time, we can do this next week.
No, we got time for you.
We can do it now. We can do it now. What do you want to talk about, man?
Just nothing. Actually, I want to talk about NXT. Do you guys really think? I was thinking like Karrion Kross is maybe the worst NXT champion ever.
He's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably my least favorite. I don't know if that's worse, but he's probably my least favorite.
Maybe Louis remembered it. But I usually talk about wrestling with my class almost every lecture. Okay? Mm. And this thing came up today. And it is between Bo Dallas and Karrion Kross.
I think Keith Lee's up there.
Oh, come on.
Really?
How's that Keith Lee's
fault? It was a really heartwarming moment, man.
It was a heartwarming moment. It was a lovely moment. But his reign was crap.
Well, ruined by my brother, actually, but
that's outrageous. What do you mean it was crap? What did he do so wrong?
Okay,
just Karrion Kross came in straight away and beat him. How was that Keith Lee's fault?
How let did me do Keith Lee. It was okay. Go on,
let
Lee.
Me explain. Let me explain.
I can see the cog set in your brain. You haven't even thought it through. Go on.
I have. admittedly, the bar is very, very, very high for NXT champions. Ooh. A lot have been tremendous, whether it be takeover matches or like even TV matches, segments. A lot have been absolutely fantastic. But that's why I've put Keith Lee in there. Not that there was anything wrong with it, just that it didn't meet the heights of the other ones.
Just, well, it was a short reign, right?
It was a short run. And that's why, as well, I'd put Johnny Gargano in that conversation as well. For, yes, great moment, but the actual reign, like...
Oh, my God.
So what about Sami Zayn, then?
No, because the way he lost the belt was incredible. Like, incredible.
Why don't you put Nakamura in there, too?
Listen, guys. I'm not here to be attacked.
You are attacking us, man.
Are you telling me?
Just admit you haven't thought this through, as you said.
I've already thought it through. I tell you what, like I did with my last take, I will put this one on Twitter and we will see. But
No, don't, because we're gonna start. Remember, that's the main thing. We're gonna start clipping.
Yes, we are. But my point is, Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano, for example. Hold up! You don't even know.
Oh. You're literally pausing, going, "What is my point?"
Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano, their reigns, there wasn't anything bad per se. They just weren't as good as the other reigns, which have been so good. So by that proxy, they have to be in the conversation of worst championship reigns in NXT.
So what do you mean? Is Bo Dallas is better than Gargano? Is that what you are trying to say?
If Bo Dallas is there as well, in the worst conversation.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going by this logic, I mean, there's a lot of NXT champions who really didn't have many standout moments because of just the way, like, the timing on the brand and stuff.
Like who?
Well, I mean, can you name classics for Big E as NXT champion?
Hang on. Very big difference there between what NXT was.
No, it doesn't matter. You're saying the worst NXT champions ever. Don't bring into what the brand has become or not. You said ever. You said it.
Yeah.
Whoa,
includes Seth Rollins.
No, Seth Rollins
was the first,
like, won it in a cool way, dropped it to Big E I don't understand. Like, okay, name me one iconic Johnny Gargano moment as champion, apart from when he lost it and when he won it.
What do you mean? The whole feud of Adam Cole was great. What's the matter with you?
It wasn't champion then.
Oh, my word.
I stick by my point. One of the weakest NXT championship reigns was Johnny Gargano.
I love you, Louis, but Alex, what do you think?
You didn't say, you're changing it now. You didn't say one of the weakest reigns. You said one of the worst NXT champions. That was...
They're the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
Okay. Now we have a difference of opinion. I would say they're the same thing. So what's the difference? What is the worst champion?
Well, of course.
What is the worst champion? That means worst champion.
A weak champion. You know, you said a weakest reign. How much has that got to do with the champion, right? That's to do with how they're booked, what they're put into, how long they have it. Very different. Yeah. Very different to being the worst, how you perform as champion.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Because my point is, it's not Johnny Gargano's fault. He did everything he could in that reign. Not Keith Lee's fault. You just had a conversation
by yourself then.
You can't put Johnny Gargano in this conversation, Matt.
So my what I perceived as worst champion is they had the weakest reign as champion. They had the least great takeover title defenses. Their reign was the shortest. So it can't be as iconic, as memorable as your likes of Finn Balor or your Adam Coles or your Kevin Owens. That was my argument. Maybe I didn't explain myself properly. Okay. I can hold my hands up. Didn't explain myself properly. But in terms of Karrion Kross, I think that's a different argument. That is more akin to what I guess you guys are debating in terms of, is he the worst in terms of his performances as champion? Yes, I think he's in that conversation.
He's one of them. I don't know if he is the one. He's one of my least favorite. So he's probably in that. You know, I do think he's got better.
I guess they pulled the trigger on him very fast, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean that's
especially
indicative.
That's why you said Keith Lee's name in this conversation.
Yeah. No, okay, Keith Lee. Do you now? I've specified what I meant. Do you understand where I was coming from?
Kinda. But not, I'm not happy. Kind of,
exactly.
Not happy. Exactly. Not happy.
Right, anyway. Please, I'm gonna have to get rid of you because I think this is the second time you've caused a domestic argument between me and Alex while you're on the show. You bring up these interesting debates. I think your last one was about Eva Marie, which we all know Alex and I will debate until the cows come home. But I think we may have to have some sort of counseling, Dr. Shelby here, when you come on the show.
There's some good points coming in, Louis. The live chat are making good points. Anyway, Briz, appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for stopping by. Make sure you do again very soon.
One more thing before I go.
Come on,
please,
man.
Please, guys, subscribe. Please subscribe. I can't wait for the war games.
Good.
I need that. That's a good war game.
That's a good
okay?
end.
We love please that. Subscribe. All of my students are subscribing right now.
My man.
If you don't want to fail, subscribe.
Class is in session. Well done, Briz. Thank you very much, brother. Take care of yourself. We will catch you soon. Louis, take us back to normality, brother.
I feel like I've been attacked.
Well,
did you get what I meant, though?
I do, but I feel like you knew what you were saying, and then when the conversation swung a certain way, you tried to pivot, and you were like, I didn't mean that. Well, that's what we were
talking. I genuinely meant, in terms of like their like memorable moments for their reign, they had one of the weaker reigns, nothing against them or what the performers did. They all did their stuff. As you said, Johnny Gargano's matches with Adam Cole were great, but could he have as great a reign as...
Let's not beat a dead horse. I know what you mean.
Good.
But at the same time, like, you know, you said, what's the difference between worst and weakest?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, I fully explained it to you. And then you went, oh.
No.
You know exactly what happened. Thank you guys for tuning in to this Tuesday edition Calling a Wrestling Daily. We've gone over as we usually do, but we appreciate you guys so much for stopping by with us. I will be back tomorrow with SB3 to talk the go-home show for NXT. Also, Louis, are you doing the Triple H thing later on this week? I haven't had my invite yet, but I believe it's happening.
Oh, if the invites haven't gone out. I was on the TakeOver one. I was on the WrestleMania weekend one. So potentially, I've actually got an NXT interview tomorrow. So stay tuned for that.
So do I. I wonder if it's the same guy. Never mind. Anyway, thank you so much for everyone who stopped by. We will see you tomorrow. People are asking for Ultra Chats. There aren't any, would you believe? Much to my fury, much to my chagrin.
I suspect we'll have some tomorrow because.
There's always not so many on the call-in day because you get to call in.
Gallows is on the show tomorrow.
I know, but I'm just saying, this is a reason we don't get many on a Tuesday. So I'm not angry about it. But with us tomorrow will be Gallows. I think, I don't know how long we've even got him for. Do you? 20 minutes?
However, until he gets bored and leaves.
And fucks off. All right. Well, there you go. Anyway, great stuff, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. I will see you with Doc Gallows himself and SB3 tomorrow, 8 p.m. UK time. We will see you then.